I've got a Bible. I want to just, it won't be long today. I'm going to speak from Hebrews chapter 11 and Genesis chapter 48 to 49. And I'm going to zip through Genesis 48 to 49, but I want to speak on this subject that is the most critical subject in the church today. I really believe God wants us to get a hold of this subject. And if we go down, this is the faith chapter in Hebrews 11, and it goes through all the things that faith is, the definition of faith, or a description of faith better. Faith is, I love the description. A lot of people know verse 6 of chapter 11, without faith it's impossible to believe God. But they don't know the second bit. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back and his reward is with him. He's a rewarder. Abraham knew him as my very great reward. But that's not what I'm going to preach on. It's just part of faith. What I'm going to preach on, verse 21, after that description of faith, it goes through and lists the people of faith. And it comes to one of my favorite people in the Bible. And it says a very simple statement about him. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. So when Jacob was dying, if you go to Genesis 48, 49, there's something wonderful. When he's dying, he knows he's dying. You can follow it through. Joseph. By this stage, Jacob has come to Egypt out of Canaan, the promised land, and he's gone to Egypt because his son Joseph is there. And he spent his last 17 years in the land of Egypt, which represents the world. It's lovely because Joseph brings his children towards him in the end, knowing the blessing that is passed from the man of God by the laying on of hands. He says, lay hands on my children and bless them. And it's wonderful because Joseph, it's like Jacob's like he leans over to Joseph's children, Ephraim and Manasseh. And these children are grown up privileged. They're grown up in the system of Israel. They've got every privilege. They're not like Jacob's other children, or shepherds and vagabonds. These were grown up in the world system. And he basically lays hands on them. And he claims them for God. And all the blessings he pronounces, none of them to do with anything in the world, but he just claims them for God. That's how to bless your children. Claim them for Jesus. And he does that. It's a wonderful picture. But I want to speak about the fact that Paul says that when he was dying, a great act of faith of Jacob was he blessed the sons, but also he worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. It's so important that God's people worship. But all of the cosmos is in a battle over who will we worship. Satan took Jesus and tried to make him worship him. If you don't worship Jesus, you worship something else. People, I see them, they've just got an intellectual faith, and the worship is not just about it, it's about the heart. It's about pouring out one's devotion and surrendering one's soul completely, offering oneself. It's from the heart, that's from the very core of our being. And it's so essential. It's so essential for the Christian life that we be people who worship God and practice worship. It's so important that we be people who are able to pour out our love and devotion to Jesus. So important that your children see that you pour out your heart, because it's an offering to God. It's an act of priests. You know, if we don't worship, there's something very powerful. I love the book of Judges, because the book of Judges teaches us that God loves to raise up deliverers of the nations. It's such a great faith book. God raised up better women and used them to deliver nations. I preached this message to India and the pastors just loved it. They caught it that India will be delivered through the pastors of India. Hallelujah. From all the idolatry. But one of the great lessons of the book of Judges is that Gideon's my favorite. Deborah comes close behind. And there's Samson. One of the things about Gideon, he brought about a great deliverance to Israel from the Midianites. But towards the end of his life, Gideon, even though he'd been used incredibly to God, he went against an army of 120,000 with 300 men of faith. And the power of God moved and destroyed the enemy. And so one of the great testimonies in the history of Israel. Great deliverance God brought about through Gideon. But at the end of his life, Gideon collects gold from the people and he builds an idol. And Israel heads straight back into apostasy and they need to be delivered again. But the difference between Deborah is Deborah has a song. And Israel has 40 years free. Because Gideon failed to establish worship after being delivered. If God's people, after being delivered, say, do not establish worship, you will make an idol. You will become an idol. The trouble with an idol is that the living Christ imparts life to all who believe, but idols, they're dead, they cannot see, they cannot speak. But the problem is they're not only dead, but they impart death. Those who trust in them, Psalm 15 says. So idols can be anything in this world. It can be a sword, it can be, something of this world. That's what happens if we don't worship. So this is a beautiful picture at the end of his life of this old man, Jacob. And he's not had an easy life. He thought his son, Joseph, had died for many years. And then his other son, Benjamin, was taken as well. He had a lot of difficulties, a lot of trouble with his children. He was a self-made man for season, and his name means a deceiver, grabber. He was a deceiver, someone who was self-sufficient, but God changed him. God changed him amazingly. And made him into this wonderful man of God, who raised 12 sons. God changes his name from Jacob to Israel. That's where Israel gets their name. It's this man called Jacob. But at the end of his life, he leaves his staff, having walked with God. And he worshipped. He worshipped God. But it's just so beautiful. At the end of his life, he worshipped God, he blessed his sons. And verse chapter 50 says that Joseph, as soon as he died, he blessed his sons, he worshipped God, and he died. He gave him his spirit. And it says that Joseph fell on his father's face, and the west wept over him and kissed him. That's how you want your children to be when you die. They'll be like that because you worship and lead them to worship God. You lead them into worshiping God. So the legacy in the spirit you leave your children will make them really love and believe in which way you want to go. It's a beautiful picture. He worshipped. And we've got to be people who have worship in us. So many times in the Psalms, David speaks about deliverance and praise and testifies that God delivered him from this, God delivered him from his enemy, God delivered him. But there's a process when he goes through Psalms, he goes from, he begins in worship, praise God, I exalt the Lord, and he's with his heart. And then he moved from worship into warfare, and that God would bring deliverance. But deliverance always began with worship. And we, if we really are people, I always say that we speak about the weapons of our war. We have a spiritual battle. We exist. Our weapons are not against flesh and blood. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood, against people and things, but it's against spiritual powers and principalities. And the most powerful weapon the Christian has fight the enemy is his praise and worship. And so many people, I know, they live under depression because they haven't learned to worship. But I want to tell you, it's a beautiful picture of this old man. I tell you what the heart of worship is. The heart of worship, you see, I'll take you through chapter 48 to 49. Life has not been easy, it has not been perfect. But this is what was the heart of his worship. When he leaned on his staff, and just started to pour out his love of God from his heart. In verse 3, he says, then Jacob said, go Joseph, God might have pinned me at loose the land of Canaan, and bless me. And said to me, behold, I'll make you fruitful and multiply you, and I'll make of you a multitude of people, and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. This is a speech he's making just before his death. He's telling Joseph what God had done for him. Forms the heart of his worship. They said, I'll tell you, they'll be blessed. God said, behold, I'll make you fruitful. God appeared to me in the land of Canaan, and he blessed me. I'll make you fruitful. You know, he has to see the Lord. He worshipped by faith. He had to see those things. He had to see the land. He still was in Egypt. He wasn't even living in the land. But he said, God appeared to me. He spoke. He blessed me. He gave me this land by promise. And I am blessed. Do you think you give yourself as blessed? It's really important you give yourself as blessed because the scriptures say to each one of the spirit, we'd be blessed with God's son, every spiritual blessing brings into Jesus Christ. Every spiritual blessing, we've been blessed. This is what Joseph says in verse 11. He says, now the eyes of Israel were dimmed with age, so that he could not see. And Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced his sons. And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact God has also shown me your offspring. He said, I thought my son was lost. I thought I'd lost Joseph. But his brother took him, put him in the pit. And he said, I thought, if God was good to me, I'd see your face again. But not only did I see your face, I saw your offspring. And he's saying, I will worship God because not only is he good to me, but he is better than me. He's better to me than I could ever imagine. He gets better, my walk with me just got better and better and better. Because that's what a real walk with God does. If we are a real walking with Jesus, he blesses us in ways that are far beyond explanation, far beyond what we even ask or comprehend. If we live long enough, the things we ask him for and trust him for, when they come forward, there's so much fuller than the things we ask for. You know, his life with him is better than all our fears, all our hopes, all our desires. He blesses us. He blesses us in a way that is so wonderful. And Jacob leans on his staff and he says, I was heartbroken. I just saw you again. I would have been happy, but God made me see the durations. He is a good God. He is a God we walk with. I want to tell you, the blessings of God are richer and deeper and more meaningful. It doesn't mean he had an easy life. God is faithful. And he is God who loves to bless his children. So he worshipped him because he said, God bless me by my wildest imaginations. And it's got better and better. It's got better and better. Verse 15, as he's blessing the children, he says, this God performed by my fathers. This is when Abraham, just before his death, he blessed Joseph's sons. He blessed Joseph and says, the God performed by my fathers, as Abraham and Isaac, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day. And he was a shepherd. And he was like Bedouin. those days there was droughts, there was dangers, food was not short. He lived through that drought. He lived through the time where all of Canaan came to drought. People would die, and Joseph was sent to Egypt to provide for the land. Jacob's testimony, this is God who I trust in, This is God who I walk with. This is God who I met. He fed me all the days of my life. What I tell you, if you trust in Jesus, they'll never be lack. They'll never be lack. Even David's the saying, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Do we praise him? Do we worship him because we have food at the table every day? Yes, I thought that something was happening. It would be critical. But I hear this prayer and the prayer around the world. And sometimes all that is required to do this is even though we come to the dinner table, it's to just bow your head and say thank you. That's what we're real. And that's what God loves. It's just a success. Thank you. Never in lack. You never ever leave me in lack. I'm telling you, the heart of worship is gratitude. Your life is better in him, and that there is no lack in him. This is all by faith. This is what Hebrews 8 says. He did not spare his own son, delivering him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. He didn't spare Jesus, but he gave him for you. Now he gives us everything we ask for by faith. That is for us. But if I've seen this thing, people that do not worship, the one thing they have is a lack or an attitude or lack of gratitude. Not thankful people. Not thankful people. People who are not thankful, but take the blessings, that take God for granted, that they don't worship. But people who count their blessings, are grateful for every day. When I put food on my table, I realize that there are people in Ethiopia, there are people in the Sudan, they don't have this today. But my God, watches over me, I have no lack. That thanksgiving is an act of worship. It's just a track, if you're really thankful, it's an act of worship. And it's so powerful. So he said, thank God that his life made him better. He said, thank God that he had no lack, even though he lived through drought. God had supplied him supernaturally. That other people may have been in lack, but his God was able to provide for him, and he had provided. And he worshipped his stuff. And then he said, the next verse says, the angel who was redeeming from all evil. I think that's referring to not just another angel, but it's the archangel, Peniel, when Jacob's life was changed. For sin in his life, like many of us, Jacob was self-sufficient. He was a can-do man. He trusted his own abilities, even though religion just talked, but he was self-made and he trusted himself. And he came into this encounter with God, where this is what the wonderful thing alone is. He got in trouble, like we do. God lets us get in trouble. And then he was in trouble. He did the best he could ever do. You get in trouble. He put his wife away. He put his children away. He got alone with God by the river Jabbok. He got alone with God. And in that night, he wrestled with God. He was in trouble. So he wrestled with God. And he made a schemer. He made a deceiver. He could get by, and he could do quite well on his own strength. A bit like Israel today. But this is a prophetic picture. And then God did something to him. It was the most beautiful thing in his life, and it formed the heart of his worship. You know what God did for him? God took self-sufficient man, this man that could do, this man that could not more than survive, he could buy, he could do business. When he was worshiping, he had this staff that he laid on. as he's getting ready to die, he says to Joseph, of all the things you bring me, my staff. You don't want to ask for that staff, the worship of God with that staff, because that encounter with God, the self-made man was broken by God. God did a work with him where he dislocated, he put his head out. And forever that day, he would walk again with a limp. But that encounter, all his self-sufficiency was taken away. And his life was changed until he became a man who had the leading of God. He was changed. There was an encounter with God. He went from this self-sufficient, self-dependent, baby man to be someone who God broke. He became weak, consciously weak, and he had to lean on God all his days. And he said, that is the most beautiful thing that had happened to me. He got that staff, and he says, that's what God did for me. Then I became fruitful. See, God does that before God really bless you. Before God can really make you fruitful, God has to break you. And God will break you. Break you of your self-sufficiency. Break you of your self-trust. And bring you to a place where you lean on Him. Where you're actually your own power, your own, you know, you're conscious of your own weakness. And Paul said the same thing. He said, praise God. Because when I'm in that condition, and only when I'm in that condition, then a new strength is my life. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Jacob said, there's a strength that came into my life at that moment. There's a strength that came into my life that's not human. It's the strength of God. It's the victory of God brings. And I praise God that He broke me. Praise God, He changed me in that moment. That moment I was changed from Jacob the schemer to Israel, God's man. Lent on God, beautifully broken. He now had a limp. He said, and from that moment on, he said, all I could do was lean on God, cling to God, trust God in all my weakness. And my life has totally changed, miraculously changed. And he worshipped. He worshipped God because He changes us. He changes us. Takes away our human strength. And He replaces it with the power of God. That's why Paul spoke about, I rejoice in my tribulations and weaknesses, because in them God's power is made perfect in my weakness. And it's wonderful, this passage. He's giving this blessing. He blesses Joseph's two children, and he blesses Joseph's before he dies. And then all Joseph's children come in, he starts blessing them. He gets to Dan, in the middle of Dan. He starts blessing Dan. Dan shall be judges. Dan shall be a serpent, by the way. He bites the horse's heel. He goes on to, and then this phrase appears. This line appears in verse 18, and he says, I have waited for your salvation, O Lord. Now these are his dying words, his dying blessings. In the middle, he just gets, it's like he's weak, he's just hanging on, he's given the blessing. He's worshipping God in the midst of it. He goes, oh God, I've waited, but I can see your salvation. I see your salvation. And he worships God because he knows life's at end for him, but he has a sure salvation and a certain salvation. And he's thankful that it's not a series, it's not a theory. He says, this is what I've waited for. I know it's coming. I know. I've walked with you. You've blessed me. I walk with you. You've increased me. I walk with you. You fed me. You changed me. You made my life into something beautiful. You took what I was and you broke me and you molded me and you made me into a man of God. He said, but that's not the best of it. The best of it is when I go, I know there is a certain salvation for me. For I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you ever come into this place? Sometimes I come to the prayer meeting, I want to come in early, I sit in that chair there, and I just meditate on the work of the cross. Though I was a deceiver, that I was a grabber, God has not only changed me, but the Bible says the wages of sin is death. I owe God a death, but Jesus, he paid my death for me. And I have a sure entrance into heaven because the sin has been paid for. I'm sure. Are you grateful for that? Is that you understand what Jesus took for you? The price he paid for you. That he shed his blood. And because of that, you're washed totally clean. Your sins are totally cleansed. That you'll stand before God and he'll say, completely righteous. No matter what you've done, if you've trusted in Jesus, he'll say, completely righteous. Come in. That's the heart of worship. There's a song we used to sing, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's so important in your own life, you be a worshiper. You know, at the end, Joseph fell on his father's face. And he wept over him. Because he saw this father of his just lean on his staff and start pouring out his heart to God that you'd been with me. That you made my life better and better. That you fed me. That you changed me. That you saved me. And his children saw that in his life, saw his worship of God. And the children realized that that had been passed on to them as well, that their father had been so precious because he taught them the things of God and he taught them how to worship God. And they understand how precious. And when he died, they fell on his face and they wept. I trust our children will fall on our face and weep because we've taught them how to worship. You know, there's a picture I have to finish with. Some of us know this account in 2 Chronicles. It's a wonderful account in verse 20. It's an account where Israel was facing an army that far outnumbered them, that far outweighed them. And some of us know the story. It's in 2 Chronicles 20. And they go into battle. And they win against insurmountable odds. First of all, the army, or Israel, is notified. The king King Jehoshaphat is told that all these people from Moab and Ammon and others beside them came up against Joshua. Some came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you. And some say, this is the greatest army ever assembled. And it says Jehoshaphat feared. But he decided to seek God over it. He put his trust in God. And when he started to seek God and put his trust in God, something happened. Often when we do this, we've got an enemy, we've got a situation that is unsolvable. We confront a situation where there's no human solution. This is what he was confronting. An enemy, it could be a sickness, it could be whatever. But something was coming against him, was bound to destroy him. We seek God. And when he sought God, the prophetic started to flow. This prophet came. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. This is in verse 14. And the word came, listen, all of you, Judah, in verse 15. Thus says the Lord, do not be afraid, King Jehoshaphat, because of this great multitude. The battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by Aseb of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be feared or dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshipping him. And it said they went out the next day singing praises. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. When they began to sing it and to praise the Lord, set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. And the people of Ammon stood up against themselves and killed and destroyed each other. In other words, the enemy was destroyed. God moved on their behalf. The power of God came into the battle. And the enemy strangely started to fight amongst itself. Angels came in and started to destroy the enemy. And Israel was miraculously delivered from certain destruction. But there's a step that people often miss when we need deliverance. You got a problem. There doesn't seem to be a human solution to it. God has promised to deliver you from all your afflictions. You seek God. Often when you seek God, someone will bring a word to you, a real prophetic word, delivered in the Holy Spirit. A real prophetic word. You know what you need to do when you get that word? If it's a word in the Spirit, God speaks to you. Sometimes people come in, they get a word, and they go, thank you, that's good. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see if that's true. If you get a word from God that is delivered in the presence of God, that it is quick and it goes between bone and bone, it goes into your spirit, you know it's of God. If God has spoken to you, what you need to do is worship. When Jehoshaphat got that word that God's about to move, God's going to do X, Y, Z. This is what's happening. You will not be destroyed, but you'll prosper. And so he fell on his face and worshipped. I want to tell you, when you fall on your face and worship, worship is the business of heaven. When you go through the book of Revelation, you'll see all these things where angelic activity is. There are the elders falling on their face worshipping, and then there are angels coming. Because people who worship draw the angelic realm into the now, into the earth realm. Worship draws the resources from another realm into your battle. And you don't have to fight your battles alone. God fights your battles for you when you worship God. But boy, you need to worship. It's such a dreadful thing to take God for granted. It's such a dreadful thing to just be grabby for God all the time and not stop and say, you're making my life better and better and better by faith. And to lean on your staff and start praising that you've taken me from here and now I'm here and the best is yet to come. That's the promise of Jesus. You go and praise him that I've lacked nothing and I'll never lack any good thing because you didn't spare Jesus. You'll give me all that I need all my life. You'll answer every prayer that's good for me. And you used to say, you've changed me. And you continue to change me. You've taken me from a deceiver. You've taken me from a con man. You've taken me from a lie. You're changing me from the inside. You're doing something so wonderful. I'm no longer sufficient on myself, but I have a power coming into my life through prayer that no one can understand. In my weakness, I'm the strongest man on earth because the power of God rests on that weakness. And you've purchased for me a perfect salvation. He leant on his staff and he worshipped God. He worshipped God. He poured out his heart to God. This is what you've done for me. Sometimes when I'm at home, my children come in. I don't like to talk too much about my home, but they will come home. I tell this often. They'll often find me prostrate. 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. if they get up. just worshiping God for his goodness. I want to tell you, I believe more than preaching, more than it's the most powerful thing in the armory of a Christian. The angels of God will follow your life. The power of God will resolve things for you. No man can resolve. You say, well, things aren't going well. My life's not going so well. I want to tell you, it says that Jacob, by faith, worshipped God. By faith, he knew his life was getting better. By faith, he knew the promised land was his. By faith, he'd been given a life that got better and better. By faith, he would have no lack. It's by faith we worship God. Because he is good. Because his mercy endures forever. Because all his promises are yes and amen. Because he dragged me from the pit and redeemed me. Because he's forgiven all my sin. He's healed all my diseases. He crowns me with love and kindness. He renews my life like the eagles every day he does it. Do you worship him, church? I would encourage you. Christianity, we're not mindless, but it's not live from the head, it's live from the heart. It is something that is lived in vast oceans of gratitude for Jesus. And our gratitude needs to be expressed freely and openly. Let's just finish by standing. Just standing. So many times, the Old Testament, people were in battles, and they just came in and they prostrated themselves before God. Moses did it. All the great men of God did it. David did it. David understood when he would go in and play his harp before Saul, who was tormented by demons, that no demons would stand in the presence of someone who worshipped God. Father, I just lift up every person in our church today, Lord, every person here who may be suffering, who may be in a battle, Father, who may be in a situation where things are challenging. Father, I give you praise that you're a good Savior, Lord. I give you praise that in you our life gets better and better. I give you praise that you have blessed us already with every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. I give you praise, Lord, that your people will lack nothing, Lord. No good thing. Father, I ask that we will confess that. I ask, Lord, that those words will be on our lips. Father, I ask, Lord, that those words, like Jacob, they will be our testimony, Lord. And that testimony will be an act of worship. I want you to stand up, lift up your hands. Particularly if you're having an issue at the moment. I just want to lift up your hands. And not only praise Jesus as we finish, but just commit that your life from this day forward will be an act of worship for us. It'll just be an act of worship. And you'll walk in constant deliverance, constant increase, constant blessing. Even in the midst of imperfect circumstances, God will be with you. He'll resource you. He'll feed you. He'll fight your battles because you worship him. We give you all praise, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.